Hey, this is Rich Wilkerson Jr., lead pastor of VU Church, and I want to say thank you so much for checking out our podcast. I really hope that today's message encourages you, inspires you, and empowers you to follow after Jesus like never before. Before we get to today's teaching, I want to encourage you to come and be a part of VU Conference 2019. It happens annually, and this year it's happening in the month of June at the Watsco Center in Miami, Florida. This is going to be our 10-year anniversary celebration, and we do not want you to miss it. Everybody you know is invited, but we've got incredible guests coming through. Carl Lentz, Mike Todd, Judah Smith, Chad Veach. We've got music by Mosaic MSC, Social Club, so many more, but it really won't be the same without you. This conference is all about encountering God, equipping the church, and empowering next generation leaders. I think you probably fall into one of those categories. Why not come spend a weekend with us here in Miami at VU Conference? For more information, go to VUconference.com and get registered. I can't wait to see you this summer in Miami. Well, let's go check out today's message.
Well, we have been in a collection of talks over the past 7 weeks called Seven Rules for Self-Discovery. And we've been really taking the time. It's been foundational work of really looking inward and discovering who we are. We've nicknamed it Seven Rules for Soul Discovery. It's not just self-help, but we're really taking the time to see who we are so that we can become who God has called us to become. And we started off with what do we want the most? And how do we spend our leisure time? And what do we think about? And what do we do with our money? And who and what we admire? The company we keep. Pastor Rich preached a beautiful message on check your circle. I love that. I don't need a BFF. I need a FFF, a faith-filled friend. And today we're talking about what we laugh at. And these seven rules really come from the theologian, the pastor A.W. Tozer. He gives us these rules and he says that any wise Christian will find more. And I'm not saying that I'm wise or anything, but as I've been asking myself these questions, I found that it's really helping me to ask more questions, to figure out who I am. And this question, this rule number seven, what we laugh at, when we think about what we laugh at, we all laugh at different things. See, we all have that one group chat with our friends and family. You know that group chat that you share all your memes. Pastor Rich said, show me your five friends, I'll show you who you are. I say, show me the last five memes that you screenshotted, and I'll tell you who you are. You guys are like, delete, delete. Maybe it's not memes. Maybe memes don't make you laugh. Maybe it's that one person that you get around that can make you laugh so hard, that brings so much joy to you. Or maybe it's your favorite comedian or your favorite TV show. Maybe you laugh when people fall. I don't know what you guys are into, but we all laugh. Like, laughter is innate. You don't have to teach laughter. I love how it said, laughter is a mechanism that everyone has. It's a universal human vocabulary. We all have the ability to laugh. There's different languages, there's different dialects, but we all speak laughter the same way. We all can laugh. But the thing about humor is subjective. It's kind of like your favorite pizza place. You think yours is the best. Like, some people like Steve's, some people like Cazola's, some people like Pizza Hut, Papa John's. I come from a different place. I come from Brooklyn, New York. I think that we have the best pizza. Don't debate me. But it's like it's what you know. It's what you are around. See, really age, gender, your culture, your background really dictates what you'll laugh in a given situation. See, I believe that laughter is a gift that God has given us, but he's given us a much deeper gift, a greater gift, and that's the gift of joy. See, while laughter may be subjective, joy is objective. See, something that is subjective is based on feelings and it's based on emotions, but something that is objective is based on fact, it's based on truth. See, our joy is not based on our age, it's not based on our race, it's not based on our gender, it's not based on how much money we have in our pocket, but it's based on Jesus. See, our joy is based on Jesus, and Jesus is a constant. So that means that no matter what I'm facing, no matter what I'm dealing with, I can have joy. It's not situational. See, the Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Joy is not a sometimes thing. It's an always thing. So that means in the good times, I can rejoice. In the bad times, I can rejoice. When my money's looking funny, I can rejoice. When my change is looking strange, I can rejoice. On the mountaintops, on the valley, I can have joy in everything. And I believe that as we're taking time to discover who we are, as we're taking time to uncover who we are, I believe that God has called us to be people who have joy through it all. That no matter what the circumstances, that we can have joy. I believe that God has big promises for every single person in this room. And in order for you to get to the promise, you have to go through the process. And the process is not always easy. And that's why God's saying, I want to give you joy so you can make it to where I have for you. And I really love David. David is one of my favorite characters in the Bible because he has walked through many different seasons of his life, but he somehow manages to have joy through it all. And he writes so beautifully about it. He is poetic in the way that he talks about joy. David says this in Psalm 16, verse 1-5. He says, "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You are my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. At night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me in the realm of the dead. Nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with the joy of your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." See, God wants us to have what the French call joie de vivre. See, that means the joy of living. And I believe that's only found in the presence of God. So for the next few moments, I want to talk to you from this thought, joie de vivre. Can we practice our French together? Can you say that after me, joie de vivre? Look at that. You sound more romantic and intelligent already. I thought this title was appropriate because our church, the name of our church is actually French. Vous means you in French, but it's often mispronounced. I love when I'm telling people about church and they're like, "Oh, you go to that Voss church?" And I'm like, "Well, Voss is a water, but we have living water, so it's kind of the same thing." Or this is my favorite one. "Do you go to the Voss church?" So I don't know who this one is for, but it's pronounced VU. The S is silent. You're getting French lessons all day. But joie de vivre really means the joy of living, exuberant joy, the enjoyment of life. Buoyancy, it means liveliness. It's this unimaginable joy. And I believe that that's the joy that God wants to bring into our lives. That as followers of Jesus, there are certain benefits that come with knowing Christ. And one of those benefits is the access to joy. So my question for you is, do you have the joy of living? Do you have this exuberant joy? And in order for us to have this joy, we have to realize and we have to recognize that God is our source. That he is our source. David said it. He said that without you, there is no good thing. That apart from Christ, there is no good thing. Jesus says in John 15, "I am the true vine and the Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You already are clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." So what do you produce when you remain connected to the source? So glad you asked. Galatians 5 verse 22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." And so really the way to sum up all three of these verses is that you can't have joy without Jesus. You can't produce fruit without Jesus. You absolutely, positively cannot have access to true joy without being connected to the vine. You cannot produce fruit if you're not connected to the vine. There's never been a moment where I have my iPhone and I just put it around my charger and hope that it would charge. You can't just be around church. You gotta be connected to church. You can't just be around the things of God. You've got to be connected to the things of God. See, some of you might be at the verge where you're just like, "I'm ready to give up, I'm ready to quit." But may I submit to you that what God has for you is still in seed form. That God wants to produce fruit in your life. He wants to produce joy in your life, and you may not see it, but it's in seed form. And you've got to remain connected in order for you to produce. You've got to stay connected to the vine. See, the joy in me is because of the goodness in him. It's because I'm connected to him. David knew this. David knew that no matter what he was facing, that as long as he connected himself to the vine, as long as he connected to the source, that he would always have joy. See, David walked through many different seasons of life. When we first meet David, David is a shepherd boy. He's in the field, and David gets anointed as king. After David gets anointed as king, he has to go right back to the sheep. And then we find David, he becomes a musical therapist. He's taking care of Saul. He's soothing his comfort. And then David becomes a war hero. He defeats Goliath, and they're walking through the streets, and they're singing that David has killed 10,000 and Saul killed 1,000. Saul hated that song. And so Saul started hunting David down. He wanted to kill David. David became a hide-and-go-seek master. He's going through caves trying to fight for his life. And then David finally makes it to the palace. We finally meet King David. But what I learned from this is you can get the promise but still have some problems. Because even as a king, David becomes an adulterer and a murderer. But there's one consistent David throughout his whole story, and it's David the worshiper. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Despite the season that David was going through, he still knew the goodness of God. He still could write and experience the goodness of God. He writes it this way in Psalms 36. He says, God's love is meteoric. His loyalty is astronomic. His purpose is titanic. His verdict is oceanic, yet in his largeness, nothing gets lost. Not a man, not a mouse slips through the cracks. See, that is the kind of God that wants to bring joy into our lives. We don't serve some itty-bitty God that can't do anything, but we serve a massive God that is our source. He is the God that can turn your tears into joy. He is the God that can take every tear that you cry and bring joy from that. I love this definition of joy. It really talks about joy being not situational, that you could have joy no matter what you're facing, that joy in everything. See, my joy is not situational, it's supernatural. See, it doesn't matter what I'm facing, I can have joy. The psalmist says this, he says, those who sow their tears as seeds will reap a harvest with joyful shouts of glee. They may go out carrying a seed to sow, but they will return with joyful laughter and shouting with gladness as they bring armloads of blessing and harvest overflowing. So you may cry some tears, but God can turn that into joy. That you may have some tears, but the psalmist says, it doesn't matter what I'm going through, I'm going anyway. That I might have to sow my seed with tears in my eyes, but I'm going anyway. That I'm gonna sing anyway, that I am gonna shout anyway, that I'm coming to church anyway, that it doesn't matter what it looks like, I'm going anyway. Because what happens when we decide to sow our seeds anyway, God produces a harvest. And this harvest that he produces is not just for us, but it's for multitudes. That what God's getting ready to produce in you is for many to be blessed. But that can only happen when you stay connected to the vine. It only happens when you stay connected, when you know that God is your source. See, God is our source, but he's also our satisfaction. See, you really cannot be satisfied when you're looking to the left and you're looking to the right. It's really hard to have satisfaction when you're comparing. See, the secret to joy is contentment. See, it's so easy for us to look at Instagram, and it's so easy for us to look at everything and compare our lives to other people when God's like, I've blessed you right here and now. If you just only looked at what I had for you, if you could only see what I had for you, you don't have to look to the left or look to the right. You could be content in what I give you. See, comparison is a killer of contentment. It will kill your contentment so fast. Have you ever been to a restaurant and you ordered your food? Somebody else ordered another thing and you look at your food and you look at their food and you don't even want your food anymore? And you're just like, why did we even come here? It kills our contentment when we look to the left and look to the right. It kills our contentment when we want what somebody else had. You loved your Toyota Camry till you saw her Mercedes-Benz. You love what you had till you saw what someone else had. The grass is green on the other side because the grass is fake. We can't look to what other people have. In order to be content, we have to keep our eyes on what God has for you. There's things that God wants to pour into our lives, but we cannot sit still enough for us to realize and recognize. God is saying, if you could just stay in my presence, if you could just see what I had for you, you would know that I'm your satisfaction. Today, this Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. And now Pentecost is 50 days after the Passover. And before Jesus ascended to heaven, he tells his disciples to wait on the promised Holy Spirit. He says, wait for the Holy Spirit that will guide you in all truth. And so for 10 days, there's 120 people in the upper room. And for 10 days, they're praying and they're fasting and they're just waiting on the promised Holy Spirit. They're not in the upper room checking Instagram to see what's going on in the other upper rooms. They're focused on what God has for them. And then the Bible says that the Holy Spirit enters into the room like a mighty rushing wind, that tongues of fire come down and they start speaking in other languages. They spill out into the streets and the Bible says that they start speaking the wonders of God in different tongues. And people in the city start hearing the wonders of God in their own language. And isn't it so personable of God? And isn't it so amazing about God that he would have people hear the wonders of God in their very own language? And people are amazed. But there's another group of people who are like, are these people drunk? Like, what's going on? And I'm not sure what group I would be in. Because 120 people for 10 days were in one room. I don't even want to know what that smelled like. Imagine them pouring out into the streets, speaking different languages. People thought they were crazy. And Peter responds, he says, they are not drunk as you suppose. And he begins to preach a message. And the Bible says that 3,000 people are added to the church that day. And that was because people decided to stay in one place, to have one focus, and to realize that God was their satisfaction. See, a lot of what I laugh at really comes from church. I grew up in church and Pentecost Sunday was one of the Sundays that I really enjoyed. And I remember going to a friend's church on Pentecost Sunday and their father preached a message. And this was probably about 9 years ago. This is when Jamie Foxx was making music. And he was talking about the story of people thinking that they were drunk. And I don't think we were ready for the message that we're getting ready to receive, because he started preaching and he got to the really good part. He said, blame it on the goose. Time to get loose. And we're like, what? He's like, blame it on the throne. Get you in the zone. You can't blame this on the alcohol. And we're like, did he just, is that his sermon? I couldn't believe it, but really the significance in that is the world will try to attribute our joy to something else. The world will tell us, how can you have joy and not drink? How can you have joy and not smoke? How do you have joy and not do what the world would say will give you joy? See, the joy that the world tells us that we have is a temporary joy. It's something that will go and flee as quick as it came, but the joy that God wants to give us is eternal joy. The joy that God wants to give us is everlasting joy. I can't contribute it or attribute it to anything else but God. That's true joy. It's satisfaction guaranteed. That the joy that God has for us is satisfaction guaranteed. That we know that if we're in his presence, that we'll be satisfied by him. And a lot of us, we've tried to get joy in different ways. We tried different things. You name it, you've tried it. But it has not been able to give you joy. It has not been able to fill you up. And you might be new to this faith journey and you come one day. I just want to let you know it's not going to be like the joy of the Lord. It's the world. It's not going to be quick. It's going to take some time. We say this all the time as a church. Just keep coming back. Because when you keep coming back, that is when you realize the presence of God. When you keep coming back, that's when you can meet the presence of God. You might still have tears in your eye, but just keep coming back. You might feel some hurt and you might feel some pain, but just keep coming back. Just keep coming back to his presence. Just keep coming back to his feet. God wants to satisfy you. He wants to satisfy every single part of you. And in order for God to satisfy you, you have to seek him. You have to seek his face. You have to get into his presence. It's real practical. We have to find a time and a place. We have to find a time and a place to meet with God. That you can't be satisfied with God if you're never around God. If you're never connected to him, you can't find satisfaction in his presence. And God's just saying, just meet me and I'll satisfy you. I wish I could take the worship team home with me. I wish I could take these moments home with me, but the presence of God is with you everywhere you go. That you need to take time in your schedule, that you need to take time to meet with God. And the same thing applies. Sometimes you come in God's presence and you feel like, well, I haven't heard anything. Keep coming back. Well, God, I didn't get the answer that I was looking for. Keep coming back. God, I'm still going through. I'm still dealing with this problem. Just keep coming back because he wants to satisfy every part of you. Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 12 to 13, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. That is the secret to life, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. See, God is our strength. And we need strength because there's gonna be moments where life throws things our way. There's gonna be moments where life throws us a curveball, that life shakes us up, that we get news that we don't wanna hear, that we lose a loved one or we lose a job or someone breaks our heart. Life is going to shake us up. We can't control the shaking, but we can know where our strength comes from. We can know who is our strength. James says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. I read it this way, that whenever you face shaking of any kind, whenever you deal with shaking of any kind, that it is to produce something in you. The shaking in this season is to make sure that you are mature, complete, and not lacking anything. That God wants to make sure that the you that he creates is the best version. That God is working on the best version of you. That don't be afraid of the shaking. I'm a big fan of Simply Lemonade. That's my new thing. I'm a huge fan of it. And I'm bringing it to every party. If you invite me to your party barbecue this summer, that's what I'm coming in with. The other day I had some Simply Lemonade in my hand and I poured it out. And my friend was like, did you shake it? And I was like, does it say shake? And I looked over and it said, shake well before using. And it was one of those random moments where God spoke to me and said, don't shy away from the shaking because I want to use you. Don't be afraid of the shaking because I want to use you. To shake well because God is going to use you. He wants you to be mature, complete, and not lacking anything. What God wants to pour into you is so that you can pour into others. God wants to use you, that you don't have to be afraid of what you go through. Every obstacle is an opportunity for God to show his strength. Then in our weakness, that is when he is our strength. That's when he can show us that he is strong. I don't have to be afraid of any moment of my life because I know that God is going to use it. And say God did it, but he can use every part of it. There's nothing that's going to be wasted. There's no tears that's going to be wasted. There's no hurt that's going to be wasted. God is going to use every bit of it. And I truly believe that God wants to bring joy into our lives. That God wants to bring our joy back, that he wants to bring joy back into the lives of people who feel like it has been stripped away and who feel like it's been robbed from them. But there's joy and there's healing. And as I was thinking and I was studying, God really spoke to me and said, there's a lot of people that are walking around broken and don't even know it. There's a lot of people walking around broken and don't even know it. And God reminded me of my story of when I was walking around broken and didn't even know it. Some of you know my story of me getting into a car accident and had two surgeries in Mexico. And I remember coming back to the States and had to do a bunch of different checkups and had to do a bunch of different things to make sure that I was okay. And my brother was like, hey, Manushka, make sure you check this bump on your back. And I didn't even think about it because there was just so many other things that was going wrong. I couldn't tell up from down. And I remember being at the doctor and I had forgot to even mention that I had this bump on my back. And I called him back into the room. I was like, hey, can you check out this thing on my back? And he was like, oh, I don't know what it is, but we'll get you an x-ray in 2 weeks and we'll figure it out. And so for 2 weeks, I started physical therapy. I started different things. I started trying to get back into this normal routine. And I remember when I finally had that x-ray, I was in a room with one of my friends who's a doctor, and she saw the x-ray. And she said, just wait one moment. I wanna check on this with one of my colleagues. And she went away for a little bit, and I'm texting. I'm like, hey, like, I'm hungry. Can you come down and tell me what's going on? And she walked in the room, and I could just tell by her face that something was terribly wrong. And she tried to encourage me. She's just like, hey, like, you've been through a lot, but God has his hand on you, but I just want to let you know that you have a fracture in your back. And the doctors looked at your x-ray, and they weren't even sure how you were walking because this fracture is so bad that you should not even be able to walk. She's like, you need to go into the emergency room immediately, and you need to get tested to figure out what's going on and to figure out what the next step is. At that moment, I was completely numb. I couldn't believe it. I thought things were getting better, but all of a sudden, things just got worse in a moment. And I got to the emergency room, and it was all night of testing and test after test and x-rays and MRIs and doctors in and out the room trying to figure out what was going on. And the doctors finally came to me and said, hey, you need to have another surgery because there's no other way for us to fix this issue. You need to have surgery because this fracture is so bad, it's dangerous that if you make one wrong move, you'll be paralyzed. And in that moment, I thought all this time I was broken and I had no idea. All this time I was walking around broken and I had no idea. I felt pain, but I couldn't discover what this pain was coming from. I couldn't identify the pain that I was facing. And it was not until I did a series of tests. It was not until I got tested and things were looked at till I found out that I was broken. And so many people in this room, you're walking around broken and you don't know why. That you're walking around with brokenness, you feel pain, but you can't identify the brokenness. You don't know what the brokenness is from, but God is saying he's running some tests and he wants to show you what's broken. That's why we're taking time to discover who we are so we can figure out the broken parts of us so that God can heal us and that God can mend us. See, God doesn't want us to stay the way that we are. God doesn't want us to stay broken because we can't move forward in our brokenness. We can't operate in our full potential in our brokenness. See, I remember looking at the doctor and I was terrified. The last thing that I wanted to do was have another surgery. And I looked at him like, is there any other way? Is there anything else that we could do? Is there anything else that I can do so I could get better? He said, there's nothing else, but you have to have this surgery. This is the only option. And I come here to tell you that God is the only option for you in this room, that there is no other way for your healing. There is no other way but for you to allow God to work in your life, that he wants to do surgery on you, that he wants to take every broken part of you and he wants to mend it. Some of us are broken because of something that someone said to us or did to us or something that happened to us in our past, and we can't move forward from it and we can't move on and we do not know how to get past it, that we have not been able to get past the hurt and the brokenness. But I come to tell you, the one that wants to heal your brokenness is in the room this morning. The one that wants to heal the broken parts of you is in this room. That you might have not been able to have joy, but God's saying, I'm bringing joy back into your life. That you might have cried some tears, but I'm bringing joy back to your life. That you have to trust God as your source. You have to trust God as your satisfaction. And you have to trust God as your strength. He is your only option. There is no other way. It is Him. And God wants to do it. He wants to pour into your life. He wants to pour into your life so that you could pour into the lives of others. That because as God heals you, as you get healthy, the people around you can get healthy. I couldn't help anybody in my broken state. It was not until God fully healed me could I ever help anybody else. That you can't help anybody. You can't carry somebody when you're broken. It is only when you're healed and when you're healthy, and God wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be whole. He wants you to be mature. He wants you to be complete, and He doesn't want you to lack anything. That God says, no good thing will you lack. There's not one good thing that God doesn't want to pour into your life. And I believe that there's people in this room who feel broken, who have walked in here empty, who have walked in here feeling like they are ready to give up, that you've tried God and you're at your wit's end and you said nothing's happening. But here's my encouragement to you. Stay connected to the vine. Stay connected to the source. What God has for you is in seed form. If you would just hold on, if you would just remain connected, it is too soon for you to quit. It is way too soon for you to quit. God doesn't want you to give up. You've thought about it, and you're wondering why you can't give up. The reason why you can't give up is because God has put way too much in you to quit. God has poured too much into your life for you to quit. And really, I just feel like this is God saying this, that you've wondered why you couldn't kill yourself, and you wonder why you couldn't go through with the things that you thought you could go through with. And it's because God's saying that He has a plan over your life. That God's saying that you couldn't do it because He wants to do something through you, that He wants to use you. And that as you're hearing these words, God is going to fill you up with His joy, and God's going to fill you up with His presence. It's all that you ever can need. It's all that you can desire, that you don't have to look anywhere else. You don't have to try anything else, because what you need is in the room. That what you need is in this room today. That God is going to turn every tear into joy. Every single tear is a seed. You'll watch as God uses every tear to produce a harvest. That He'll use every tear to produce something in your life. That none of it is in vain. That God wants to bring you true joy. That He wants you to know that you have access to joy. Some of you have discounted yourself from joy. And you said, well, that joy thing is not for me. Joy is not for me, but I come to tell you it is for you. As a follower of Jesus, as someone who God loves so deeply, joy is for you. Do not discount yourself from what God has for you. Do not distract or discount yourself from what God has for you. You don't have to look to the left or look to the right. God has designed something uniquely just for you. It's just for your life. And He has prepared it and He has planned it in advance for you. That's God's encouragement. Just stay connected. Be connected. God wants to do something.
Well, thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. And if you like what you're hearing, consider rating it and even sharing it with friends. It helps so much. For more content from VU and to connect with us, go to VUchurch.com. We love you. The best is yet to come.